Our opening prayer will be worded by myself and our speaker this morning, our brother Hank Davis Jr. Sermon is titled, The Act of Trust. The Act of Trust. Scripture for this morning's sermon is taken from the Old Testament book of Proverbs chapter 28. Got verses 25 to 26. And our scripture reader this morning is our brother Jerry White. Presiding at the Lord's tables, brother Wiley Edwards and our brother Jerry White. Got double duty, brother White, this morning. And closing prayer, we'll be led in closing prayer by our brother Greg Newton. First song, 614. 614 will be our opening hymn for this morning. 614. And before we sing that hymn, brothers and sisters, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we're so humble and thankful, Father, that you've blessed us all here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, another opportunity that upon the first day of the new week, Lord, we can openly assemble together, Father, that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto Thee would be conducted decent and in order, Father, that all might be pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father. And Lord, we just pray that if there be those in attendance this morning, Father, that are subject to Thy invitation in any way, Lord, that You might bless them with the courage to make those needs known, Father, while Your grace and mercy is extended unto them. Lord, we ask these in all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. And He will lift you up. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Son of God, and He died for us, and He died for us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me. When we had been there 10,000 years. When we had been there 10,000 years. Christ be loyal and be true, defender.
true, for he will always be and help you up your conflicts to Christ the Lord. Be true. To Christ be loyal and be true. Be his friend, all of to stand against all of our forces who have I found for fear. To Christ the Lord be true. For he will go with you and help you up your conflicts to Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true in noble service true. Your faith and your fidelity the fervor of your to Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you up your conflicts to Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, and he will be your friend. Defending and protecting you through life's triumph and end. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you up your conflict to Christ the Lord be true.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful, our all-knowing Father God in heaven, Lord, we bow before thy mighty throne, Father, with bowed heads and humble hearts, Lord. Father, we're just thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father. Another opportunity upon the first day of the week, Lord, we can rise up out of our beds, Father, have the help and strength and wherewithal and opportunity, Lord, that we can openly assemble together, Father, we can come together and that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for our family of God, our body of Christ here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for our leaders here, Father, our elders, Brother Long, Baldwin, and Bowen, Father. We're thankful for our deacon, Lord, Brother Gatewood. We're thankful, Father, for all the teachers that we have here in the congregation, Lord, and all those, Father, that help make up the body of Christ here, Father. We know that we have a lot of brothers and sisters that may not have a title, Lord, but we know that it takes all the members of the body, all the members working together, Father, to have a whole full and functioning unit, Father. We're just so thankful for our family and our body of Christ here at Cross Street, Lord. Our Father, we're thankful for our country, Lord. We're thankful that we live in a place where we can openly worship Thee, Father, where we can minister unto others, Father, and we can try to actively bring lost souls unto Thee, Father. Our Lord, we pray for our world, Father. We pray that all things might work together and come to peace and that we can end some of the calamity going on in this world right now, Father. Our Lord, as we continue in our worship here this morning, Father. We ask that you bless our brother Davis as he's going to stand before us and bring us a portion of thy scriptures this morning, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless him with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to bring to us this morning, Father, and that he might deliver them in such a way, Lord, that it pricks our hearts, Father, that we're able to study these things and gain a better understanding of thy will and thy word, Father, and ultimately become better servants unto thee, Father. We also pray, Lord, that if there be those in attendance this morning that maybe have never known you or put you on in baptism, or maybe that have but have since stranded away like the prodigal son, Father, that you might bless them with the courage to make those needs known, Father, and bless them with the courage to make whatever needs or corrections that they might need, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful unto thee for all the many, many blessings of life that you've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. We know that these things are too numerous to count and contemplate. But we know, Father, recognize that all these things flow from thee, and we're so thankful unto thee for them, Father. Our Lord, we're also mindful of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Father, in need of our prayers. Lord, we know that you know exactly how each and every one of these folks stand in need, Father. We pray that you might wrap your arms around them and comfort them, Father. Bless those that render care unto them, Father. And no matter how each and every one stand in need, Father, whether it's physical or mental or emotional, or as all of us can be ailed from time to time, Father, spiritual as well, Father. We just pray that you continue to watch over each and every one of these and bless them as they stand in need, Lord. Our Father, we're most thankful this morning, Lord, for your grace and love, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, set the example that he did, and ultimately the sacrifice that he offered up, Father, the shedding of blood, the blood that cleanses us from unrighteousness, Father, the blood which offers us all a chance for eternal life if we obey thy gospel and remain faithful to it, Lord. And our Father, we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, what he's done for us. We just pray that our actions and conduct in life would be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ, Father. And Lord, as we continue our worship this morning, Father, we pray that you would just continue to watch over each and every one of us, Father. Continue to guide us, continue to lead us, Father. Forgive us of those areas where we may have fallen short, Father, as we repent from those things and don't do them, you know, further, Father. We also pray, Lord, that you just bless us throughout this worship, Father, that all will be conducted decent and in order, Father, that all might be pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And in all things, Lord, we just pray that not our will, but thy will be done, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Specific time that we have to remember Christ Jesus, a time we have to remember Him and what He did for each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8, it reads that God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before us, we have two emblems that bring to our memory His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We have the bread that represents His body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents His shed blood that was shed for many. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. Christ, we thank You and we love You for dying for each and every one of us. And we thank You, Father, for Your love and for Your mercy, allowing Him to go to the cross and die for our transgressions. We're so grateful and so thankful and humble that we have the privilege and the opportunity to partake of this supper. For it is in Jesus' name we give You all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let's give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord and Father, we thank You that we're able to remember Your Son's blood that was shed on the cross on our behalf. We thank You that that blood washes us of our sins and cleanses us, makes our robes white. Father, we thank You that we're able to have this remembrance of Him each first day of the week. And we ask that we think of Him not just on the first day of the week, but every day of our lives. For we know that if it were not for His blood, we would not be able to speak with You as we do today. Father, we thank You for the day that we might be able to partake of this cup with You in heaven one day, when that great day comes and the trumpets of the Lord shall sound. Father, as we partake of this cup, we ask that we do not do it in vain, but we do it with all of our heart, we do it with all of our mind. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
you if anyone was overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper. Please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, we have another Christian duty, another commandment bestowed upon each and every one of us as Christians. That is to lay by in store, to be prepared to give back to God the first fruits of our labor. As we give, let our mind reflect back to the old rugged cross and remember that God gave us all that He had, and that was His only begotten Son. Let us bow and give thanks. We're so grateful and so thankful, Father, for the best of health and strength that You have bestowed upon each and every one of us and all of mankind throughout the world to enable us to go out into the world and to take care of ourselves and our family. We're so grateful and thankful, Father, that we can give back unto You the first fruits of our labor to help spread the gospel and to share the gospel with each and every living soul. We give You thanks, Father, for this privilege and this honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before the scatter sermon this morning will be number 788. And then before the sermon and our scripture reading is 778. First, second, fourth verse.
Give me the Bible, star of Bethlehem. Hear the wonder, oh, it's necessary. No form can hide that greatest peaceful being. Then Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precepts and promise, all in love combined, till life shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious word by Jesus spoken. Hold up the lamp show my Savior dear. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the
Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up and splendor, by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven's shining quarter. Show me the glory, killing Jordan's wave. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. Till thy shall hang me in eternal day. Give me the Bible, holy message guiding. Thy shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till I shall vanish in eternal day.
If you'd like to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28. Verses 25 and 26. I'll give you a moment to find that. It's Proverbs chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. He who is of proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. The lesson this morning is the act of trust, and it'll be delivered by our brother Hank Davis Jr.
Morning, church. Always, always, truly, truly a blessing to be able to stand before you. To be able to be in our right minds, our right bodies, be able to clothe, be able to come here, to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, to just be able to praise Him in song, to be able to pray. It is truly, truly, truly a blessing to be able to do that. It's always good to see each and every one of you. And if you're visiting with us today, this morning, we consider you our honored guests. We're so thankful that you decided to come and worship with us today, and we ask that after the service that you don't rush off, you give us an opportunity to meet you. As always, again, it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you and be able to bring forth a portion of the Lord's words. Scripture tells us that true worshipers are being led by the Spirit to worship the Father according to the truth. These are the ones the Father is seeking to worship Him, because God is a Spirit, and those who worship God must be led by the Spirit to worship Him according to the truth. That's John 4, 23 through 24. And to quote the Apostle Paul, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to let you all know this morning that God loves you. God loves us. I want you to know He's real. I want you to know He is alive, and His Son Jesus, who died so many years ago, died on the cross and rose up from the tomb as He ascended unto heaven, where He is now sits on the right hand of the Father, speaking to God on our behalf. And as I stand before you, I believe that His Son that they call Jesus is real, and because He lives, and because without Him we can do nothing, but with Him all things are possible. All things are possible according to His purpose. This morning, we are blessed to celebrate the first Sunday of summer. Isn't that something? One of my favorite of the five seasons that we have here in the state of Michigan. And no, I did not misquote. I did say five seasons, because we do have winter, yes. We have spring, we have summer, the season that we're currently in, and we have fall or autumn. But of course, we have the seemingly unending season of road construction season that we are in right now. I know you have all seen the orange construction barrels, the official flower of road construction season in full bloom, in what seems like every road that we travel on in this state in this year. And I mean, it is really interesting this year. We have detours that have detours. So it's been real rough out there right now. And, you know, when I look at all the road construction that's going on, it's really hard for me to get, I'm just thinking to myself, it's hard to get from point A to point B these days, you know, and it gets to the point where it's gotten so bad that by the time you've been rerouted and rerouted and rerouted again, you forgot where you were going. And so then you say, well, I'm just going to go back home, but then you just don't know how to get back there. So I'm just saying that this is what we've kind of dealt with, the official yearly season of construction season, which really seems to be a full bloom all year. Amen. So I was thinking about that, just the whole idea, because I was going home one night and I realized there was a big barricade right in front of the road in which I was going to go home. And I was like, well, I guess I can't go that way. And so I had to go back from where I came from to get back on a detour to get back home. And again, as it was roads I had never seen before. But again, it brought some inspiration to me. And yes, since I'm up here preaching, I think that there is a biblical point to this observation. And it's often been said that when I looked at that barricade that was just outside of my complex there, and I thought to myself, you know, it says when one door closes, another one opens. When one door closes, another one opens. Scripture would say in Psalms 119, 133 to 134, order my steps in thy word, and let not my iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. So will I keep my precepts. And Matthew 7:13 and 14 reads, enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the path that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So I look at this construction that's diverting our paths as a metaphor. I look at it as a metaphor to how God works in our lives. And just indulge me for a minute, because I'm going to try to break this down for you. But when I look at the blocking and closing of roads, you know, that we become all too familiar with and all too comfortable with, you know, it reminds me of, you know, we think that we're living our best lives. We get to the point where we go into what I would call autopilot. You know, I worked over at the University of Michigan for some 30-something years, and I remember that I had to take my mother somewhere, and we was on the same road, and somehow we ended up at the hospital. But we weren't going to the hospital because I had gotten so used to that road and going that way. And this is the way that God works in our life. We get so comfortable that we start to grow. We just start to do things out of memory, and we just stays the way it is. So when we are rerouted, it is sending us to an unfamiliar path to get to our final destination, one that may have us questioning the direction in which we are going. But God's word says the Lord will guide you, and always he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. Isaiah 58 and 11. We have to trust that if we stay on the path marked by the detours, that we will be successful in reaching our destination. That sometimes it's not going to just be the same way we go all the time. God intends for us to grow. We simply can't blow through the barricades of these roadblocks, if you will, without consequences. When God is trying to divert us or change us or have us go in one direction, but we are just going to be, I'm just going to do what I want to do all the time. I want to feel me. I'm going to blow through this barricade. There are consequences to that. You know, you may go down the road so far and figure you've got it made, only to find out that the road is not there anymore. Or you find out that there's a cop sitting on the side. Now you're driving in the construction zone. Now you got a $180 fine. There's always something. We simply cannot do that. Now, we cannot blow down the proverbial roads that are closed. The detour, while most of us might find it to be quite inconvenient, is again necessary if we intend to go where we need to go. Just like when we face adversity in our lives and there is an interruption in our plans, you know, we need to exhibit focus. We need to have patience. We have to have trust. We have to have faith and obedience so we don't become irritated, frustrated, aggravated, and worst of all, lost. Which with some of the detours that we have out here, we don't pay attention to which way we're going to go, we will become lost. Scripture tells us that we enter the straight gate, and the straight gate is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, as in narrow, as in constricted, as in strict. The other word straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, is meant to mean without bend. So if you follow me, it's without bend. Where the other straight is narrow, it's strict. Scripture is very clear on its use of the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. It's the opposite of straight, which is narrow, which is strict. Okay, so when we start looking like going back to the road construction thing, where we're just going to just do what we want to do and go down this road, you know, that's all blocked. It's going to lead to destruction. Sometimes we have to go off of that path that we think that we're on when God is leading us. And we have to follow the rules. We have to follow the path. So we stay on that strict path of where we need to go. So in life, when the road we've accustomed to traveling all of a sudden is now closed or blocked, we must trust in God and His will when He allows us to be rerouted. Knowing that the Bible says that in all things God works for the good, for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28, that we continue to grow, that we continue to learn and to develop as children of God, that our patience and our faith increases on this journey on earth so we may ultimately reach our heavenly final destination. See, we serve a Lord that is the same yesterday, He is the same today, and He is the same forever. Hebrews 13:8. And God is very consistent in what He does. You know, we had some old school parents when I was growing up, you know, that you say, well, I need you to do something. And you would say, why? And the first thing they say, because I told you so. They give you no explanation because I said so. That's why I told you. Or don't do what I do. Do what I say. You ever heard that before? Such is the inconsistency of mankind. However, we serve a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He wants us to do what He did and what He said. He truly practiced what He preached. Christ encountered more. He encountered more in His life on earth than we will ever be required to do. So we can see His glory as well as learn how to live it. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the act of trust. The act of trust. Now, I understand that as Christians, we are hardwired, taught to trust in the Lord. Scripture even tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, you know, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into our own understanding, and always acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. But what about the trust that we're supposed to have for each other? There are many passages in the Bible that warns us about trusting man. You go to Psalms 118:8, it says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put the confidence in man. Jeremiah 17:5, curses the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. And we know many relationships, when we put that level of trust into each other, sever due to the lack of trust with individuals. And when we lose trust in people, there's things that come along with that. It hurts. You know, we feel betrayed. We feel angry. We feel bitter. We feel vengeful, and on and on and on. And all of those are behaviors that's unrelated to our Lord Jesus Christ. And however, it's the behavior that's exhibited daily by persons who have lost trust for one another for a variety of reasons. So it begs the question, if we're not to, or if we cannot trust each other, then how are we going to get along? How are we going to get along with each other? How is it if I can't trust you, if I don't trust you, or I have to have this skepticism about my fellow man, how are we going to get along with each other? And how is that going to work in heaven? You know, that doesn't make any sense. But the potential like and disdain of each other is what happens with that. Is you have broken relationships, and that's it. You have a cynical disposition, and you have a guarded personality. And first and foremost, we have to look at what the Scripture tells us. We have to look at what the Scripture tells us about this trust. See, first of all, let's look at what trust means. Trust is a firm belief or reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. The Bible states that someone that we are to trust is God. And we are to put our trust in Him with all of our heart. We are to put our trust in Him with all of our heart. And when it comes to trust, God looks at our heart. He looks right into our heart. And He realizes that we are not perfect beings. And we've all sinned. Scripture tells us that. He realizes we're not perfect. We realize that we lack some things, but He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. There are many passages of scriptures that illustrate God's love, use of sinners promote His glory. We can go from New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. You know, David and Paul, most notable, that we know what they did. But God even said, the scriptures even said that He loved David. He's a man after His own heart, because God knew their heart. God knew that they were capable of bad and good and still trusted their hearts, and that's important, trusted their hearts to follow Him. Bible's interpretation is to trust God. In our own understanding, once trust is broken, the human condition takes over. So once trust is broken, the human condition, this is where we are taught in the Bible not to hold grudges, not to alienate people. See, that the trust in our to trust our own heart is a fool. A man who trusts his own heart is a fool. That's Romans 7. That's that carnal mind. And that's very important, because when it comes to trusting God, we have to understand that we can't treat God like we treat each other. Did you hear me? We can't treat God like we treat each other. See, we go through our own lives, we go through our own things, and there's things that's happened in our lives, in our past, in our present, that dictates our future and how we handle things and how we handle trust. But see, what the Bible tells us is that we got to first trust God before we do anything else, knowing that we're all on the same plane when it comes to sin, knowing that we're all on the same plane of doing something that we shouldn't do, but we do, as Scripture tells us in Romans 7. And because we're all on the same plane, that it is so important to understand what the Bible just screams at us to do about forgiveness, about growth, about development. Scripture says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, Colossians 1 and 10. Also, we need to understand that the Lord is going to know what we're going to do. And let me slow that down a bit. Let me understand it. The Lord already knows what we're going to do before we do it. And if you think about that in a minute, you think about the betrayal and the denial of the apostles in Luke 22. That Jesus would say in Luke 22, 21 and 22 that, but behold, the hand of man that betrays me is with me at the table. That's just part of the Lord's Supper. And truly the Son of Man goeth as He is as determined, but woe unto the man whom He has betrayed. Jesus knew that Judas was sitting at the table with Him and would betray Him. Move down to Luke 22 and 33 with the apostle Peter. And he says to Christ, Lord, I am ready to go with Thee before prison and to death. And Jesus will answer him saying, I will tell you, Peter, I will tell you that the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. And we all know what happens next. And that story really sticks with me, because here is Peter who's walked with Christ. Here is Peter who walked on the water, who has seen miracles. that with Christ. Walk with him hand in hand, you know, side by side. And then you go to scriptures, and it's, and there's the story. And it's like, you know, aren't you the one that was with him? No, I don't know him. He says it again, the servant girl. Aren't you the one that's with him? I don't know him. And another, I don't know him. Next thing you know, what's the Bible say? Cock-a-doodle-doo. And it says that Jesus turned around and looked at him. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus being led away? Someone, and he just stops, and he just looks at him. Scripture says that Peter went out and cried, wept bitterly. Now think about that level of denial of someone told you're going to do something, someone who you love, someone who you have actually entrusted to do things with you, saw you. It's no different than what we see sometimes in relationships today. And I want to kind of really emphasize on that, because what comes next is what's so important. In the story of Peter and how God knows how that situation and that circumstance was going to be in life, and what was going through Peter's mind. And see, this is what Jesus knows. This is what the Lord knows. He knows Peter's heart. He knows that he's going to be led away. Peter, who was also rather feisty, the Bible, you know, shows, you know, cut off a soldier's ear. We know this. We know how Peter was with the Lord, okay? We know that he had that about him. But he had a fight or flight response. He knew he couldn't handle that. So he said, I don't know him. And Christ knew that. Christ knew that. All right? So Jesus suffered the most egregious act of distrust in the history of mankind. Men he had chosen to teach the kingdom of God to, whom he loved, who he had ordained, who he had to teach and preach, both betrayed him and denied him. Now here's the question. Was he bitter? Was he angry? Was he vengeful? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He was forgiving. Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, he said. They know not what they do. Jesus, Judas's guilt caused him to hang himself. In John, the 21st chapter, Peter was asked by Christ three times, do you love me? And he said, do you love me after he had risen? And Peter answered him, each time, yes, you know I do, Lord. And Jesus told him, feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. This was Jesus putting Peter in the place of authority of his ministry here on earth. The Lord is well aware of our human condition. He looks beyond that to what is his purpose. He knows what we're up against. We have to understand that. We have to understand that he knows our hearts. He knows what we're capable of, both good and bad. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not, and this is important, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil that are in heavenly realm. And the King James Version says, in high places. So he knows that if the devil was bold enough to tempt Jesus Christ, what do you think he's doing with us? What do you think he's doing with us? We need to understand it. A lot of times, this is why we see good people, they say good people do bad things and that sort of things, because we're wrestling against that on a daily basis. And when we call ourselves followers of Christ, oh, he's really on us. He's really on us. So we have to understand that we can't treat God like we treat ourselves. We got to lean on the Lord. We got to lean on the Lord, folks. But here's the question. Here's a question. If we serve a God that is so great that he knows our every move, then why are we so hesitant to trust him? Why are we so hesitant to trust him? We can't treat God like we treat each other, and we are to trust his word, so we aren't to be made fools. Romans 12:2 said, be not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We need to be wise in our well-doing so that we don't lose trust. Romans 16:19 through 20 says, be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and we must continue in prayer for one another. Now, here's where it gets important, because in order for us to exhibit the level of trust that God gives to us. We got to trust him first, number one. We got to trust him first. And what do? We got to continue in prayer. 1 Timothy 2 and 1 reads, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for all people. We got to pray to God. We don't go alone. We don't go at it alone. We got to pray to God. And what we pray to the Lord, what we give to the Lord, we leave it there. My grandmama said, when you pray to God, you leave it there. If you keep going back and messing with it, you're going to mess it up. You pray to the Lord, you leave it there. Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And he shall never suffer, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And when we leave what we've prayed to the Lord, with the Lord, then we commit to ourselves to allow him, God, to guide us in our steps to that situation for which we prayed. Do you hear what I said? When we give it to him, then we got to allow him to guide us in that situation to which we prayed. Why do we do this? Because we don't want to be made fools of, right? We know somebody who is untrustworthy or somebody who is a scammer, who is a schemer and that sort of thing. God is going to allow us to see that. But that person that we show with the Apostle Peter that made a bad mistake, that made errors like we've all made errors, that was in a situation that put them in a situation that they regret being in. The Lord is going to tell you, once you first forgive so that you can hear from the Lord and you leave it there, he's going to guide you. And why is he going to guide you? Because you just never know when he's going to use you back in somebody's life to encourage that individual because of their heart. What we do is sometimes on this earthly plane, all the time, we see what an individual has done and we categorize their whole character. And we're not supposed to do that. We got to give that to the Lord. And I'm not. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to minimize anybody's pain, what anybody has done. But we don't walk at it alone. You got to give it to the Lord. You got to leave it there. And then you got to let him guide you through it. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Know the truth, live the truth. You are to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's in John 8 and 32. See, folks, trusting someone means that you think they're reliable. Yeah, I know. It means you have confidence in them and you feel safe with them physically and emotionally. Trust is something that two people in a relationship can build together when they decide to trust each other. But people are imperfect. We are imperfect. We may consciously betray one another, or we may unwittingly deny one another, just like Judas, just like Peter. We can be prisoners of our own perceptions and form expectations on each other that, if not met, affords us to deem someone untrustworthy. Our faith and our trust must first be in the Lord. We must understand his perfect will, that he knows our hearts, that he knows us better than we know ourselves, and that he knows what we're going to do before we do it. We must have trust in him so we are not deceived or made fools of, but can forgive, can pray, can develop, can grow, and be guided. And we can go down that straightway path, even though it may be detoured or rerouted. Every day is not going to be easy, but that doesn't mean that we are our own salvation, or that we have more trust that your bed can hold your weight than you have in God can do what he can do. No, trust him in all that with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's the sermon this morning. That's the act of trust. That's the act of trust. We have to lean on the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord so we can learn how to forgive, so we can know to leave it there, so we know that he's going to guide our paths. So if you're here this morning, you're not just a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understanding God has already done his part when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down the cross for remission of sin. Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word. Believe it with all your heart, repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized and come up out the water with the newness of life, and God will add you to his church. If you're already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, Your trust has to be in the Lord. That act of trust starts there first. Bring it to Him. Give it to Him. You know, do you love Him? Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? And He's going to rejoice and celebrate your return. If you need a prayer, as always, prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, as you trust Him, and so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, whatever your needs this morning, please make them known as together we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you all.
Oh, to be like me, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant, longing and prayer. Let me not forfeit all of your treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to win. Oh, to be like me, oh, to be like me, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, and thy omnipotence be on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy wholeness, and thy dominion. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy in harshness, patient in grace, meekly adoring, cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, other to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, and thy dominion be on thy heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming, now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness, and thy dominion be on thy heart.